Hello. Okay, so here we are with part two of our interview with Becky Markley. And again, if you want to know more about Becky, you can go to www.humandesignforyou.com. And for those of you that didn't get the birth information for her chart last week, it's July 5th, 1950, 2113. Wichita, Kansas, W-I-C-H-I-T-A, and thanks again, Becky, for helping us out here, and take care. Here we go.
Projectors are very good at recognizing other projectors, and it's very easy to recognize another projector. You know, I mentioned Colleen earlier, and she's a friend of mine, and I talked to her quite a bit, and it's very easy for me to recognize what she's really good at doing. She's a very tribal woman, and I'm not. And I can really recognize how she is in her community to be of service to the people in her community. She's just fantastic at doing that. And I can also recognize when she's doing something that isn't correct for her. So the recognition goes both ways. I'm not sure if that's what you were asking, but, and you also mentioned mental projectors. Mental projectors are really scary. You know, they're in their heads. They're one of the most challenging kind of clients to have because they are so much in their heads, and they don't realize it because that's all they know. They're very fixed in the way that they think, and so it's very, very hard for them, and they actually are the ones who want to have a little group, a little online group. Most of them are mental projectors, or at least have mental definition. Well, I'd do the reading for the mother, unless I knew the child. And I would encourage the mother to invite her child to many, many intellectual pursuits. You know, to what that person needs to be, the child needs to be invited to, it depends on the definition that they have, you know, whether it's logical, abstract, or individual. But inviting that child to many, many, many intellectual opportunities would be great for that child, because their gift is going to be their outer authority for other people. And the amplified openness is quite a trauma to the body. It's a lot to take in. And for the mother just to be very sensitive to that, to watch her child and see how the child reacts to the environment. For her to be aware of the impact of her emotional wave on that child, and to have her be aware of how that open solar plexus vibrates the emotional wave incredibly. I mean, the amplification of that is, I mean, Ross says horrendous, and it's really true. It is earth-shaking, and for her to leave her child when she gets mad at him, to leave the room and say, "Mommy needs to go take a little break, it's not about you," you know, all of the things that you would tell a child so that they would still have a sense of security, so that mom can go do what she needs to do until her wave has calmed down a little bit. But God bless her, if it's unconscious, that would be a real tough one. Well, yeah, you can invite the child to a bookstore and let them go find things that are interesting. She could take the child to, you know, even the mystical section, and just let the child's eyes and ears, you know, it's an acoustic channel, so perhaps that child might like to listen to things, listen to music, listen to, I mean, there's a lot of insight that you can get from music. I don't know. I'm not an expert on mental definition. Maybe there's somebody in the class who has that, who can tell us what it's like.
And I think just inviting the child to different things and just see what they resonate with would be really, really great. They might want to study nature. I mean, there's a million things to invite the child to see what you know, he responds to. So I wanted to back up for just a second, and when you're, you know, doing that thing we were talking about where the energy gets drained. And so would this be a signpost for a projector that they're being a not-self, is if they're exhausting themselves, if you know what I mean, through trying? Maybe it's trying too hard.
The reason why I went to that doctor was because I was exhausted. I got diagnosed with chronic fatigue syndrome. I think exhaustion is a symptom for any type, really, that they are going above and beyond. And I had done that, you know, all my life until a couple of years ago. And so I think exhaustion, except in the sense of the generator, and of course, Linda, you can talk about what that feels like. You know, you need to be exhausted by the end of the day to go to sleep. But fatigue to the marrow of your bones, and that is what I was feeling. It was such a deep exhaustion, I could hardly move. And that is way, way, way beyond when a projector needs to stop. I think that I have noticed with myself when I'm invited to the right things, I have plenty of energy until I'm done or until the invitation is withdrawn. And it's very important to know that fatigue may be a symptom of the invitation being withdrawn. And that doctor that I worked for, that's a really good example. I started getting tired. I started feeling distracted. I didn't like being there anymore. It felt very, very uncomfortable. And wise Kathy Kinnaird says, "Oh, the invitation's been withdrawn." And I went, "Oh, you're right. I'd never heard that before. Hadn't heard of invitations being withdrawn in anything I'd studied." So that, like you just said, Linda, it really is a good marker for something's not quite right.
Well, I think that we need to give people these signposts, these markers, so they can watch in their life when things happen to notice, oh, like this one, you know, I'm exhausted, the energy's not there anymore, this invitation's over, it's time to remove myself, or I'm meeting resistance, I must be trying to initiate or attract attention, whatever type you have, might be. And, you know, I think these signposts are really, really significant. I think Ra's going to be doing a class on signposts signposts. And I think they're really important. When I'm putting too much emotional pressure on my daughter and I see what happens to her, oh, that's a signpost that I need to back up a bit. You know, I need to really cool it. So things like that, you know, I think signposts are very important for us to keep our energy, to keep, you know, aware of what's going on in our environment, with our body, with people and how they're reacting to us. And all of that helps us stay out of the not self. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. You know, the only question I still have, and I don't have an answer, is that I'm still tired a lot. And I'm not sure why. I don't know if I'm just, you know, part of me, the cynical part of me, thinks that I'm still so damaged. I mean, I'm 56, almost 57, and, there's been a lot of damage over the years, and I'm not convinced that it's possible to totally heal that and to discern the difference between what is normal feeling and what is fatigue. That's a question mark that I have also. And I don't have an answer for it yet. I think I still got many more years to figure that one out.
Yeah, maybe, Becky, could you talk about what happens to a projector when they receive a correct invitation, you know, the energy being there to do that, and then the energy dissipating, you know, maybe the whole, you know, tell the whole picture there.
Well, I can only speak for how it feels to me, but a correct invitation feels exciting. It just feels like I really want to do it. I don't have really any questions about it. It just feels wonderful, and I feel light and airy and happy. And as the invitation is either over or is withdrawn, then I just don't have that feeling anymore. It either normalizes or it feels really awful. Or, you know, Inga described it as resistance. And my word is just uncomfortable. Something just feels uncomfortable when either I'm finished or when the invitation's been withdrawn. And I don't know, example I have is that about a year and a half ago, I moved from a house to a condo, and I had a tremendous amount of energy to move. I was able to pack the boxes, lift the boxes, do a tremendous amount of work. I mean, I was like a generator, and it felt great, and I got it done. And as soon as all the boxes were in the house, my energy was gone. So it's a year and a half ago, and I still have boxes to be unpacked, but I had all the energy I needed for that move. And I wasn't sucking it off of anybody. You know, it was just there. Where it came from, I don't really know. I guess the invitation carries with it a certain kind of energy that I felt like I had in my body to get the job done.
That's really great. Thanks, Becky. And, you know, this invitation being withdrawn, I think that's a big key point that projectors really need to know about. And I don't think we've, in our community, have talked much about that. You know, invitations don't necessarily last forever. You know, they do end. And when they end, you can feel it. So, I'm going to be sure to add that to my projector story. So thank you. I learned something myself. With the you know, projectors are told that they need to learn about their definition and their design so that they can recognize when they've been correctly invited. However, I imagine that when you've been correctly invited, you don't really need to think about your design. You just feel it. Was this important for you to understand your definition, the 5125 and the 4816 and, you know, the gates around all of that, in order for you to understand yourself to the point where you put that together with an invitation and so that you knew when an invitation was correct for you? Does that make sense?
Well, the simple answer is yes. I never would have described myself as talented. I just knew that, you know, I'm a tailor. There's all kinds of things that I know how to do, but I just take them for granted. And I think where it's helped me the most is to recognize that other people aren't that way. And I've had some people that I've worked with get really annoyed with me because I expect them to be able to be as knowledgeable about things like technology, for example. I was always the go-to person for technology and computers. As a matter of fact, one of the things I'm teaching right now is people how to use MMI. And in the past, I would have rolled my eyes and said, good grief, can't you learn to use software? It's so easy. But what I didn't realize is that it's easy for me because I love to practice it over and over and over again. And about invitations, before I came to design, the most favorite things for me to do, the jobs I enjoyed the most were where I was teaching. And in one case, I was leading a project of people across the country to implement a service center for employees. That invitation, that was a yippee-skippy kind of feeling. It was like, oh my God, I've never done this before, but it was so much fun. I just loved it. And so the definition of the seventh gate of the anarchistic, abdicating leader, I really recognize that. The talent, yeah, now I know what that means. And the 2551, I don't have a clue. You know, that 51 shocking people is unconscious to me, and now I have people, I can ask them, I can say, you know, I don't understand this part of my chart, this 2551. Can you tell me how that happens with you? And one of my clients said, well, you really shocked me when you told me to shut up. And I had to laugh because her only definition was the 1858, so she was always trying to fix her husband. And I don't remember telling her to shut up, but that's how she heard it. And it shocked her. So, you know, that unconscious channel there is something that I just hear about later on. And if any of you have been shocked today by anything that I've said, then that's kind of how it works. I just don't even know what's going to come out of my mouth. As far as knowing my definition, it's just kind of like way back in the background. I'm way more interested in other people and their charts and looking at them and their definition and how they live their lives. It's way more fun.
I also noticed that in your design that there's a couple of ways for your split to be connected. So how have you, I know you've studied design a lot, so how do you see that split impacting your life previous to, you know, entering into the process, and how is it now, or do you notice it at all?
Well, now that I know what to call it, I notice it. My best friends in the past were 31s. They have this influential voice, and of course, my lack, according to me, is that I don't have this influential voice. And I was always attracted to people who had the 31st gate without knowing that's what it really was. My husband's a 31. My best friends have 31s, or they hook me up some other way. I'm always around people who either hook me up with the 10 or the 31. And today, the transit right now in this moment brings all three of those gates. And I thought, isn't that interesting? We'll see what the gods in the universe give me when I speak today. I am still attracted to the 31. I love people who have the 31st gate. But I've given up on trying to think there's something wrong with me that I don't have that 31. I think I let go of it. But, you know, I'm not sure. I don't know.
Well, that's interesting. Okay, so it's the 31. Maybe because there's two activations there.
Oh, I love you, Linda. I think it's the 31 because that gets the 2551 up to the throat. And the 10, you know, I've always struggled with having the right behavior, how to act in front of people, how to say it right, do it right, physically be correct as a fifth line person. But I think that influential voice, at least in the environments that I put myself in, like teaching, I think that was the real pull. Those are the people that I admired. Well, I just want to say thanks for inviting me, Linda. I've stopped quivering from the fear of coming in here, and my voice has settled down a little bit. I tend to get very tight in the throat when I'm scared, which I was, and first-line body, oh well. But thank you very much, and I would just like to acknowledge, because I know them, Don and Inga, projectors, very, very wise, wise people. Take advantage of them because they're here. And I'm sure they'd love to be invited to help you.
Thanks, Becky, and thank you so much for being here and sharing what you know. And, yeah, we'll definitely call on Don and Inga as we continue to march forward in this class. It's very interactive. So I learned a lot. Thank you so much. And everybody, you have a good week, and we'll connect next Monday, same time and place.
Okay, so I hope you enjoyed that interview with Becky Markley. Again, appreciate everything, Becky, and her website is www.humandesignforyou.com. Bye-bye now.